And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Oh, gee whiz. Hacking up a loogie over there. Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Scott Spears, along with Sean Kraft on the noun... See, don't get to announce yourself. I control the volume on this. But well, if this were your show, you could control the volume now. The point is, what is today?
My mic's on, and that's on.
It's on now? 20, calm down.
22.
I understand what the date is, but what is it? Don't you remember the conversation
we had? George Washington's birthday.
George Washington's birthday. Exactly correct. Okay, you want to talk about something to open up the show today?
I did.
You didn't?
What?
Oh, maybe we missed that. I don't know.
Oh, what do I want to talk about?
But if you've forgotten, maybe it wasn't all that important. I don't know.
I don't even know.
I thought you mentioned two things before we went on the air that you wanted to talk about today. Maybe not.
I don't remember.
I'll write it on a card.
Oh,
for you.
Oh, yes.
Either one of those things you brought up earlier on?
Yes, guns. Okay. Guns and Spencer.
Don't say his name, for heaven forbid. God, he'll be calling in, having a connection. he's I don't even want to bring it up, but you wanted to talk about it, so you go ahead.
I just heard some diggings going on over there. People taking some slander.
Well, apparently I didn't know it because I don't listen to any other station, but I have it on good authority and don't want to say where I heard it. But I heard that this person, you know, went on and I had some kind of tirade on Friday, downing this station and downing me personally for about an hour. Hmm. And now I appreciate, and honestly, my feeling is I appreciate that you care that much about me. I appreciate that you give me an hour of your program to talk about me. I thank you
that
so
means
much.
That means you're on the airwaves everywhere.
You know, I did not realize that I had this much power or this much infection in people's lives.
I'm telling you, you have a lot of... you're really popular.
I don't think they were saying I was popular.
I go down the street and I mention your name. Oh, yes, I know Scott Spears.
Well, yeah, but I didn't realize that I could get a whole hour on another station
for free.
Being run into the ground because I kind of feel like they're the tabloids. So I feel like I've made the tabloids.
You
now.
Got roasted.
I got roasted. Yeah. I got tabloided. So I wish I would have heard it.
Yeah, that would have been
because
fun.
Apparently it was pretty rough from what I understand.
It would have been fun listening.
I don't know what they said. Send me a tape of this. I want to hear what you said. I want to know how I could become the topic of somebody's show, because the truth of the matter is I truly don't believe that anybody cares what I do in Marion. So the fact that you would bring me up as a topic on your show for an hour, hey,
it could be,
keep,
you know,
on, keep it, on keeping on.
It could just be jealousy.
I don't know what it is.
It could be. I mean, you're a popular guy,
but thank you so
everybody
much.
Everybody knows
but
you
didn't like it. See,
no, I don't like it because when people take digs at other people's stations, we don't take digs at his station, and I don't think you should take digs at other people's station. We're all here to work together for the community, and we all have listeners. We all have people that back us and listen to us, and, you know, let's don't be childish and just grow up and act like adults. That's childish stuff.
Well, I believe that's true, and I don't think knocking the station is an appropriate thing to do. But if he wants to knock me, I guess that's his business. Go all day long if you want.
Yeah, people are going to knock everybody. You know, people knock me all the time. People used to call me the Kool-Aid Man.
Hey, I hope that this conversation makes his show today, and we become the topic of his show. Hey, I'll listen today if I know you're going to be talking about
exactly.
me. I wish I'd have known they'd have been
exactly.
talking. I would have listened.
Yeah.
Somebody get me a tape.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a tape. I want to hear it.
No, but it's always shocking to me.
I mean, I heard it from different sources, so.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that anybody could care what I'm doing.
I don't know.
I mean, that blows my mind.
You know, you have a way of getting a hold of these celebrities. Maybe a lot of people don't have that technique.
Yeah, but who could care?
Because people love to listen to celebrities. You get all of them.
Yeah, but who would... Honestly, I cannot imagine coming on a show. Now, obviously, we're talking about this person today because they've... done what they've done, but I cannot imagine just out of the blue one day coming on and trashing somebody for an hour and a half. I can't imagine come on and trashing anybody for an hour and a half. I mean, it would be insanity for me to do that.
She was talking.
I don't know. I didn't hear it, but I just heard back from several people that I apparently was a very popular topic on another station. So I thank
you're popular everywhere.
Thank you for making me much more popular than I really am, and much more important. Thank you for giving me that stance. And like I said, I feel like I've made the tabloids now.
There you go. You never know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There we go.
Nobody else is here to say it, so I said you're welcome.
That's all there is for that today. Moving on
to the gun situation.
The gun situation, which, by the way, here's a little programming note. Coming up today between 1:15 and 2 o'clock, we are going to be joined by Betty and Lauren Fluellen, who started the petition. See, we're breaking news here. Who started the petition to not have the gun shop close to Garfield Park, which is in between Garfield Park and Harding High School. So we're going to find out why they don't want it there, what the petition was, and so on and so forth. We're going to hear it right from the people today. Betty and Lauren Fluellen, 1:15 to 2 o'clock today on this program. And also, we're going to talk at 1:15 for about 5 minutes to Nicole Strine. This is a very sad story. Do you remember the Democratic convention last year when the girl from Marion went and spoke, Beth Mathias?
Yes.
And she was on the show?
I do.
Her son, 9-year-old Corbin Mathias, passed away the other day.
Oh.
9 years old. He had asthma, and I guess somehow he developed the flu, and he ended up dying at Nationwide Children's Hospital.
Oh.
It's a horrible story.
My condolences go out to the family.
Well, certainly, and ours do as well. But Nicole Strine will be calling in. She's a friend of the family at 1:15 today to talk about a GoFundMe page to help for the funeral expenses, I think is what it's for the family of Corbin Mathias, 9 years old. Sad, sad story, and our hearts go out to Beth Mathias. She was very nice to come in here last year, and her entire family. So both of those stories coming up next hour. And actually here in about 10 minutes, we're also going to be talking to Dr. Ron Fahrenman, who is the author of the Presidential Assassination book, now out in paperback from Roman Littlefield. And he predicts that Trump will have the second shortest reign in presidential history, no more than 199 days. And we're going to figure out where he's getting this from. So we'll talk to Dr. Ron Fahrenman coming up in about 20 minutes. And tomorrow, it never ends, tomorrow, Jim Jordan on Monday, Representative Jim Jordan, got into a little scuffle over at the Harding home. The people were protesting. And his first interview in Marion since that event, tomorrow we'll have Jim Jordan on this show, Representative Jim Jordan, at 12:15 tomorrow, and then the amazing Kreskin at 12:35. So,
did Amazing Kreskin, did he ever tell us his...
He said he picked Donald Trump.
Oh, did he?
So that's why you got to be on WWGH, because look at all this news we got going on.
You
local,
never know.
National, you never know where it's going to be.
And you're popular. You're all over the place. That's what I heard.
I heard him on... Yeah, I'm getting around. The tabloids
hey, guess
have
what?
Got me.
You're syndicated.
I'm syndicated. You're
yes.
right. They're mentioning me. I can't imagine that anybody would do that. I mean, honestly, with everything going on in the world, with just the stories we talked about, the gun thing with Betty and Lauren Fluellen, BJ Gruber getting praised for his text to the girl nationally, we've got this sad story of Corbin Mathias passing away at 9 years old, we've got all these things going on, and that's what he chooses as the top. I'm the topic, the lead topic on his show.
I guess.
God bless him. He's a
trooper.
I appreciate him making me so popular in Marion. You know what people were probably saying driving around that day? Who's this guy he's talking about? who's he talking about?
Oh, everybody knows your name, Scott Spears.
But I appreciate him promoting the station, because if he mentions the station, people probably turn the dial and started listening over here.
Not too many people have an AP award around this town.
Well, that is true, but that was all Helen Thomas. I might have done the interview, but...
And I was there. I broke history.
Oh, with a toilet paper on your face.
Oh,
which
stop.
Is a whole other thing.
Oh, she was wonderful.
Let's get into the current events, because we only have 8 minutes before Fahrenman comes on here. So let's talk about the gun story that Betty and Lauren Fluellen, they'll be here next hour. What do you make of that whole story? That there's going to be a gun shop opening up. I don't think it's opened up yet, between Garfield Park and... Harding High School, and they've put out a petition. What do you think?
Well, I think it is a little too close. I mean, I don't mind having gun shops here, Mary, because, you know, we do have a lot of good people that hunt and stuff like that. That's nothing. But I think it's a little too close to the kids. Too close for comfort, I should say.
But why is it a problem? Because the theory is that, you know, people kill people, guns don't kill people.
Well, yeah, but it's still, I mean, to me, I don't think you should put that kind of place in that kind of environment,
right?
In my personal opinion,
which very well,
because you never know what could happen.
We are going to take a quick break here on WWGH Radio and come back with our first guest right after this short but important time out. Stay with us here on WWGH Radio 7.1 FM. Stay with us. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Yes. Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. And hey, Scott Spears back with you on this Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017, 12:26 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm sorry, I made a mistake there. Our guest here in hour number one is Dr. Ron Feynman. I pronounced the name wrong. Dr. Ron Feynman, who is going to be joining us now. He is the author of the Presidential Assassination book, now out in paperback, from Roman Littlefield. And we are so glad to have him here today because there was a recent prediction made, I believe it was in Newsweek magazine, if I'm not wrong here, that Donald Trump would be our second shortest serving president in the history of this country, that he would be gone from that position in less than 199 days. And we will ask Dr. Feynman about that. Dr. Feynman, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much for inviting me, Scott.
Well, thank you for coming on. This article made a lot of news. It was in Newsweek, was it not?
Originally, it was on historynewsnetwork.org, and it was picked up by Newsweek and also by others. But actually, the article does say second or third shortest presidency. I don't say for sure it'll be 199 days. It could be as long as Zachary Taylor, who lasted 16 months and 5 days, 492 days. So, in other words, some of the other articles that were based on this article, not the Newsweek, but others, really distorted what I said. But Newsweek did actually publish exactly what historynewsnetwork.org had originally published last week.
So, second, that Donald Trump, our current president, will, he's already been in there 30 days. He will serve either second or third shortest term. Now, what are we basing this on?
Well, first of all, his clear mental instability. It's very clear that he's unhinged, that he's reckless, that he's dangerous with his rhetoric. He is dividing the country in a way that is really harming the nation in the long term. He's promoting fear and trepidation among many different groups. He is as divisive a leader as we've ever had. He makes Richard Nixon look like a choir boy by comparison.
But his people, his supporters, who got him this election, do not feel that way. The Republican Party in Congress and the Senate confirmed his entire cabinet. They don't feel that way.
Well, actually, not the entire cabinet yet, but most of it, yes. Well, because they have control. But actually, there's much indication that a lot of his cabinet members are having problems. They're going overseas, like the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, the Vice President, and they're contradicting what Trump is saying in his tweets. about relations with NATO, about other countries. Now I see the Secretary of State is going to Mexico. He's consulting with Trump. I think it's a lot of indications, and I think Vice President Pence, you know, even though he's doing what he has to do, I sense that he is not very happy. His body language tells me that he's disturbed about the recklessness of the rhetoric of Trump, because he's so inconsistent, and he's made enemies or made trouble with Sweden and with other countries that are our allies, Germany and others, and undermining NATO and undermining South Korea, and it's just very dangerous. I do think that this is going to be a problem, that there are Republicans like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Ben Sasse of Nebraska, among others, who have really been very unhappy. There are conservative writers like George Will and David Brooks that have spoken up against him, and also the Weekly Standards, Bill Kristol, much of the National Review. There's a big split in the party, and sure, they like the fact that he's in control so they can do what they want to do domestically. But I do think that they do see troubles with international affairs, with the so-called bromance that we have between Trump and Vladimir Putin.
So essentially, because of his mental instability, in your words, he will not serve a year, you don't think?
And well, I said up to a possibly a year and four months.
Months. Yeah. But also in the article, it does kind of state that it could be as quick as 199 days.
Could be, yes.
Yeah. So yeah. What do you think it is that's going to cause this? Because I find it hard to believe, in my personal opinion, that Congress would vote to impeach him that quickly.
Well, because there is the 25th Amendment, Section 4, which allows the vice president, with the majority of the cabinet, able to declare the president incapacitated, whether physical or mental, and therefore Mike Pence would take over as acting president while there was further consideration of the mental state of Donald Trump. And I do think Mike Pence is a patriot. I think he is someone who will do what is best for the nation, not what's best for the president. He's loyal, yes, but honestly, I think, Pence is a mainstream conservative Republican. Trump is a outlier. He's someone that doesn't really fit into the Republican Party, and he really is, by his rhetoric and his behavior for the last 18 or more months, he's been the most outrageous candidate ever to run for president and still be attacking everyone every day. He goes after the news media. He goes after the judiciary. He goes after the intelligence community. He goes after the foreign policy establishment. This is all very much troubling, and I certainly get the feeling that the top people in foreign affairs, defense matters, and the vice president are really concerned about his instability, the way he changes his mind daily, and he acts very irrational and really acts quite lunatic-like at times.
Well, I tell you, Dr. Feinman, this is kind of interesting because I was actually at dinner on Sunday, and somebody was bringing up at dinner that the 25th Amendment was trending on Facebook for the reason you had just spoken out on. But here was my problem with that in thinking of what you just said. Because Democrats are not in power. If Democrats were in power, I can see that happening. But even though it doesn't have to go through Congress, it doesn't have to go through the Senate, you don't have to do impeachment proceedings, right now a major Republican would still have to pull that trigger. And we're going to know who pulled that trigger. And there are still a lot of Trump supporters in that country. And now it's not going to be Congress burdening that or the Senate burdening that. It's going to be one person, and they are going to have to get re-election at some point.
Are you talking about Mike Pence you're talking about?
My understanding with the 25th Amendment is that Mitch McConnell could ask for it, that
Paul Ryan
could ask for it, and so could Pence. If they're all Republicans, if any of them ask for it, it's going to be on their head, because whether or not people believe he's mentally stable or not, people still like Donald Trump.
Well, that's true, but honestly, if something goes wrong with Trump, which it could still do so with nuclear weapon control and things like that, these people would be condemned in history forever. And I think they hopefully will have enough patriotic feeling that they'll do what is best and right And even if it should affect their careers, it reminds us of John F. Kennedy's profiles in courage. You need people with courage to do what is good for the nation, not what's just good for themselves and their party. And I think they would be seen as heroes if they were to do that. And Mike Pence in office would not be changing the agenda, certainly, of the Republican Party generally. He just wouldn't be crazy in foreign policy, which is the most, the most to be concerned about. That is really a problem. I think Pence is a very stable individual, and I do not think Trump is. And I think every day he just adds to that image that he's out of control.
But here is where I see a problem, to be honest with you. Let's say Pence, because Pence has the most to gain from it. Just from the political perspective,
sure.
Let's say he pulls the trigger. Donald Trump's out because of the 25th Amendment. Pence is president. Then Pence, in 3.5 years, has the Gerald Ford problem. Never elected. Everything's on his head, and he's got to run against a Democrat. And these Democrats at these town halls, even here in Marion, Ohio, are angry. And Gerald Ford did not win re-election against a very weak opponent in Jimmy Carter.
The only thing about that election in 76 is if Ford had just done a little bit better in Ohio and Hawaii, he would have won. It was a very close election. And the thought looking back is that his dropping of Nelson Rockefeller for Bob Dole because of Ronald Reagan's insistence is what caused his defeat. That if he had Rockefeller, he would have won Ohio and Hawaii by a few thousand votes difference, and he would have been president. Honestly, I wish Gerald Ford could come back from the dead. He'd be the perfect vice president now to bring the country together. I think he's not given enough credit for what he did.
But also, this is not the Democratic Party of 1976. They're not going to put up a Jimmy Carter. They're going to be out to win this. They're going to be out to win this progressively. I could be Bernie Sanders. It could be Elizabeth Warren. It could be Cory Booker. It could be any of those people. Al Franken is even on the radar now. Those are much stronger candidates in this climate than Jimmy Carter was. And all that being said, who knows, Hillary Clinton might rear her head again.
I would really doubt that.
Hillary Clinton has a certain drive, and I think there's an idea behind being the first female president in the fact that Russia, I think Hillary Clinton, just on a side note here, I don't think she's made her decision yet. I think she will when the outcome of the Russian investigation comes out. I think if it didn't sway the election, I think then she's right. She'll be a first lady, and that's what she'll go down as. If she feels that it was really stolen from her, I think she's got a case to be made then to try to come back.
Okay, may interject, I think Joe Biden would have won this election in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And I think even though he'll be older, look, we've broken all barriers, what age you are, what gender you are, what not, at least for nomination, what gender you are, what race you are, what religion you are, whether you're an unknown person like Jimmy Carter. So I think even someone at Sanders 79 or Biden 78 could win.
Well, and that's an interesting. See, when people, that's what I don't understand. I'm not saying Hillary will run again, but Hillary Clinton is younger than Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump. So to say that her political career is over, I just don't buy that yet.
That's possible. I just think that it's sort of like, I think a little bit of exhaustion with Hillary. She's been around for so long running, so that's why I do not think she would run again. But she might. It's certainly, and I think we can add to that Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota can be added to that. Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Definitely, I think, Ohio is a crucial state, and Sherrod Brown could possibly run. And also, Julian Castro of Texas.
Well,
And also, in California, either the new Senator Kamala Harris or I can't remember his name, the Lieutenant Governor of California, Gavin Newsom. I think there's a lot of possibilities, as you said, yes.
And here's another problem with the 25th Amendment, in my opinion. If Pence invokes it, Trump's gone. Pence has to pick a vice president. Now, nobody who wants to be president is going to take that job. And speaking of Ohio being very crucial, even if Donald Trump does stay in 4 years, John Kasich is running for president. No doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to say that if John Kasich was president today, it'd be a totally different situation. It's not a question of only which party wins. It's the person himself. And I thought from the beginning, and I wrote on my blog, The Progressive Professor, that John Kasich was the strongest candidate in the Republican Party against Joe Biden. It would have been a great race, either one winning, and Kasich is very solid, and I think he is certainly someone to be considered. You're correct.
So imagine his case if Pence invokes this thing in the next year and a half, Trump goes away, the 25th Amendment, Pence becomes an unelected president, and John Kasich comes up and says, I told you so, he was nuts, and now you've got an unelected guy who backed everything Donald Trump said in the primary, backed his cabinet, actually got this DeVos woman in there who now has federal marshals surrounding her. You don't think Kasich could take Pence in a primary with that baggage?
Oh, absolutely, I think, certainly in Ohio. But I want to point out that who could Pence pick? How about Senator Rob Portman, a very reasonable, sensible Republican who's, you know, from Ohio? Rob Portman would be a good running mate as vice president. Also, is possible presidential material in the long run. So I think that would be his solution, to pick someone like Portman, who's not so controversial.
All this being said, because you are the author of the Presidential Assassination book, I got an email, to be honest with you, from, and I don't think he would deny this because it was sent out to the public, the amazing Kreskin, who I think a lot of people are familiar with, kind of insinuating that the reason Trump would not serve a long time is because he would end up assassinated.
God forbid. I certainly have no thought of that, and that should not be happening. But I will say his rhetoric certainly does encourage nuts to come out of the woodwork. That's the problem. All you need is one mentally ill person, one time in a million, to have, quote, good luck, which is, of course, bad luck. But, I mean, that's a terrible thought, and it's not something anybody who has any rational sense would wish, you know, would wish. Of course, he could also resign under pressure, but I don't know if he would do that. It's going to be difficult, but I just sense the country's in great danger with him staying in office for a full term, and we could end up with major war or depression, which I think would be very damaging to the country and its future.
Well,
and divide the country into different groups.
Well, here's the interesting thing, though, and I want to just clarify this. Are you saying you don't believe that he's going to serve a year and a half because of his mental state, or because there is the possibility of assassination? Because those are two different statements.
I would think mental state. There's always a chance. Look, Barack Obama, as my book, Assassination Threats in the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson, Barack Obama says, he had the most death threats, luckily none eyeball to eyeball, but there was that case in 2014 of a person getting into the White House, deep into the White House when he was not home, the family was not home. So, I mean, there are more death threats against every president, so the odds grow. But certainly, I'm praying it will not happen. I do not wish harm on anyone. I'm just concerned about the country's long-term effect, you know, the country's long-term
right.
future.
Because the inference in this press release was made, and we'll ask the amazing Kreskin about this sometime. Actually, he's booked on the show tomorrow. Comes on quite a bit. But the inference was that it was kind of inciting. Because if you say that I don't think somebody's going to serve a long period of time because they're going to end up assassinated for their plans, that could incite somebody to assassinate somebody.
Well, I'm not out to incite anybody.
Right.
I certainly do not believe that at all. That is, and I just pray that he stays in good health. But I do think, also I want to point out that physically people say he seems to be in good health. But think about it. He is the third heaviest president after William Howard Taft and Grover Cleveland. He doesn't exercise. He's, you know, he also does not eat well, and he jokes, which is not funny, that his exercise is moving his hands when he speaks. And he also starts to sleep, as I've said, and he gets up in the middle of the night to, you know, to be involved with Twitter. And that is not healthy kind of behavior. So I'm not so sure his physical health is as good as it might seem on the surface. So I think, you know, the stress of the job, I think, is a worrisome thing on him, too, being that he is the oldest president at inauguration.
Dr. Feinman, here's the problem when we talk about mental state. If you go on a show and you say that he is not mentally right, his supporters are angry, and even some people who are not his supporters say, well, he may be doing some things that are out of the norm, but he's not mentally unstable. For somebody who is a supporter of his, what can you say to them to say, this is really not mentally fit?
I would just say I'm not a mental health professional, but mental health professionals point out that his behavior, as seen in public all these years, is an indication that he does have mental issues. I understand if you're a supporter of a person, you're not going to like it, and there's no way to get people to see what they don't want to see. All you can do is point out the facts, and that's all I'm doing.
Was he a better choice than Hillary Clinton?
I would say no, because Hillary Clinton had a great amount of experience and background. Donald Trump is the first president to have no government or military experience. Only Wendell Willkie in 1940 was nominated and did not win over Franklin D. Roosevelt, and he did not have that, but that's the only other case. The only other one you can make a case for is Ross Perot on a third-party line, also had no background in government. But, I mean, her background in the State Department and also as First Lady and as a senator, I mean, sure, there were better people. I thought Joe Biden was better than her in my own mind in that party, just like I thought Kasich was better. But I do think Hillary Clinton, in many ways, was very well qualified. Now, she's not the greatest political figure as far as oratory. She's not as engaging as her husband or Obama or Ronald Reagan. But, you know, is that the only way you judge by the personality about that she's not as engaging? That's the thing, you know, and I think her being a woman was another barrier to many people who have a problem dealing with a woman in the White House, and I think it'll continue to be a problem.
Dr. Feinman, during the campaign, Donald Trump said and did many things that people felt were a little off kilter. He said the thing about torture, the thing obviously on the bus with Billy Bush, things he said about his counterparts that he was running with in the Republican primary, things he said about Hillary Clinton, bringing the women who Bill Clinton had had affairs with to the presidential debate, but yet, on Election Day, he won in Ohio, in Michigan, and Wisconsin. Those people are still with him. Why?
Well, it was a small margin in each case. 10,000, I think, in Michigan, 22,000 in Wisconsin, 46,000 in Pennsylvania. I don't know why. I think a lot of it had to do with people who did not go out and vote. There were a lot of people who had voted for Obama who did not go out and vote, and I think that became an issue. That because of lack of people coming out. But I also want to point out, Hillary Clinton, although she lost, had almost 3 million more votes. There were 8 million more votes for either Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, Evan McMullen, or others. So actually 11 million fewer people voted for Trump than indeed, you know, and that means he got 46% of the vote, 54% voted against him. This is the greatest loss of popular vote for a person who won by the Electoral College only. George W. Bush had 540,000 fewer votes than Al Gore. This is 3 million or 11 million fewer votes in this case. And he's actually an electoral vote. He was claiming that somehow he had a better electoral vote victory than Bill Clinton, Obama, and H.W. Bush, and he did not. And actually, if you look it up, it's the 46th out of 58 elections as far as the percentage of the electoral vote he won. He did win, but it was not the great, fantastic victory that he made it out to be. And he keeps on harping on it, which is also really strange, and keeps on talking about his inauguration crowd, which was not bigger than Obama's, but he keeps on saying it. He can't get off these things. He's obsessive-compulsive on things like that instead of focusing on what he needs to focus on.
Dr. Feinman, you made your prediction. It got a lot of publicity that he'll be either the second or third shortest-serving president in the history of the United States. Is there any chance he makes the first term? Because he's already starting to fundraise for the next election.
Well, there's always a chance. Look, I mean, I'm making a general statement. I am not, I'm not a magic genie that I think it's possible, but I do think for the country it would be a problem if he was in for 4 years. But obviously he could, and certainly as far as his personal health and his safety, I pray that he does have both. But I still have a feeling at some point there's enough indications that a lot of Republicans are very unhappy behind the scenes, and I think some of the people around him, including this new guy as National Security Advisor, will be watching and trying to make sure that Stephen Bannon and Stephen Miller, who are deleterious people to have around him, will not have a great effect, because he's really being torn on both sides, and he needs to be brought over to the more responsible side of things, not the alt-right view of Stephen Bannon and Stephen Miller.
Speaking to the people who like Donald Trump right now, like what he's doing, cite the stock market going up as a good thing, what do you say to those people to really point out his mental instability, which is where this all lies.
Okay, well, first of all, back to the stock market. The stock market more than 2.5 times as high under Obama because it was at a low point when Bush left, Bush Jr. left. So as far as the stock market, it went up more dramatically under Obama than anyone. I really think the stock market would have gone up even under Hillary Clinton if she had been there. I do think so. But I just think if you really pay attention to his behavior, past and present, you would realize this person is most unfit we've ever had. No president has been so ready to attack the news media and to indeed say that they are the enemy of all Americans. That's a terrible thing to say, to attack freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. The only other person who really did that was Richard Nixon, and still Nixon had much more qualifications, much more experience, much more background. He made major contributions with the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Good things he did. He also did some good things in foreign affairs. He was crooked and corrupt in other ways. But the point is, he had real credentials. Trump, meanwhile, is involved with breaking the emoluments clause of the article on the Constitution on the executive, and his involved with business dealings while president. That is illegal. So there is already an impeachable act there if Congress was willing to move ahead on it.
Dr. Feinman, before we part ways here, just one: if you were a lawyer in court, or you were Mike Pence, or you were Mitch McConnell, or you were Paul Ryan, and you were going for this 25th Amendment, this is a two-part question. Which one do you think is most likely to pull it? We'll make it a three-part question. Which one do you think is most likely to invoke this? When do you think it will happen? And what is the thing, the one event that makes Donald Trump the most mentally unfit to do this job?
Okay. Well, Mike Pence really has the ultimate responsibility. He can consult with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, but he would have to be the one to take the action in consort with the majority of the cabinet. I do think that the top people in the cabinet, in state and defense, as much as they are part of the administration, are not going to allow Trump to decide to use nuclear weapons. And I fear that he might suddenly get angry and decide that the solution to North Korea, which is certainly a problem, is to nuke them. And that is not the answer. It really is not. So I'm not sure what else you said.
When do you think it's going to happen?
I think it'll be Pence. I think it'll be nuclear weapons or the threat of it.
How soon do you think it will happen? Do you really think it could happen in the first 199 days and we're all 30 down? We're already 30 down?
Well, as I said, it could be 199 days up to 492. And it was up to 2 years, not 2 years, 1 year, 4 months and 5 days. I think it could. To say within the next 5.5 months, it might not be so, but it all depends on events. But I think we're playing with fire with Trump in the office, particularly in foreign affairs, and dividing the American people and promoting fear and trepidation among Muslims, among Latinos, among gays, among many other groups. And I just think it's very damaging. I wish it was otherwise. I wish he was a man like a John Kasich or a Jeb Bush or even a Marco Rubio, but he's not.
Dr. Ronald Feinman, what an interesting conversation. The author of the Presidential Assassination book, out in paperback now, from Roman Littlefield. And I hope we can come back and talk about that very soon. Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me. I really had a good time.
Me too. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and we'll wheel Sean Kraft back in at this point. Sean, you heard that. What do you? And by the way, phone lines are open. We have 10 minutes here, 740-383-9944. What do you think about Dr. Ronald Feinman?
Well, he'd certainly put it on the table, that's for sure.
Well, do you think there's a possibility that Donald Trump could be yanked out of office because of this 25th Amendment, which would have to be invoked by Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, or Mike Pence, based upon him not being mentally fit for the job?
Could be. I mean, he's done a lot of crazy stuff over the last 30 days he's been in office.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to call him crazy. Now, I'm not. The doctor pointed out several very interesting things there. I just don't want to do it because I'm not sure. I don't know. See, I don't go home with Donald Trump at night. He might be a perfectly normal guy.
He could be.
Maybe he just has opinions that are a little different. But people don't see him as nuts. People don't see him as nuts at all. His supporters don't see him as nuts at all.
Well, I mean, he's one of those kind of people who just, he don't have no filter. He just says what he wants to say. So maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, I don't know.
Because we never had a president like that, really.
Well, see, here's the question. Every time I ask you guys a question when we do Donald Trump current events, you guys always say, well, it's Donald being Donald. And I've always said...
Well, it is being Donald.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Is that does that mean...
He has his own personality.
Okay, but what is that? See, that's the important part, because the doctor's saying that personality, I think, may have some mental instability in it.
I mean, he is 70 years old.
Well, I know people 90 years old who are not mentally unfit.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, he's not going to be, you know, his brain's not going to be as sharp as an 18-year-old, but, you know, I mean, there is a reason why he does what he does, because he's just one of those kind of people that whatever comes top of his mind, he'll say it.
740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in. 740-383-9944. I enjoyed Dr. Ron Feinman today. I thought it was a very interesting conversation. And tomorrow we'll have Amazing Kreskin on and try to discuss everything that's going on there with him. Let's take a call. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, on behalf of old people, I want to tell Sean to back off.
That's right. I didn't say it.
I'm totally offended here, man.
And I did not say it. Mark it down. It didn't come out of my mouth.
No, that's not.
That's right. It was all Sean.
It was all me.
So what did you think of The Good Doctor?
It was interesting. Some of it sort of curtailed with, you know, what I've mentioned before, that you know, something isn't quite there. But it would be quite a political mistake if, say, Pence decided to pursue this and then it didn't happen. I mean, he would be so far in the gutter as far as the other Republicans to do something like that.
Well, that's what I say. The problem with the 25th, and like I say, I was out to dinner Sunday and I remember somebody saying, what is the 25th Amendment? I said, well, why? That's an odd question to ask at dinner. And they said, well, it's trending on Facebook. And yes, it does say that if one of these people, Mike Pence, the vice president, House Majority Leader Paul Ryan, or Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, does believe that he is mentally unfit, that they can invoke the 25th Amendment and have Donald Trump removed from office. Now, the problem is, though, is that they're all Republicans. Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan would not win re-election. And if Pence does it, who has the most to gain... Every Trump supporter is going to hate him for life, and he would never have a chance of winning election.
Right, that's correct. Yeah.
So what do you do?
Like I say, it's political suicide to do that. Now, if he does something that is so out of there that there's no doubt about his mental health, it would take something like that. In other words, maybe he has to go to Times Square and shoot somebody to...
Well, he said that. See, is that, I mean, literally, and again, this is not anti-Donald Trump. I don't want to be cloaked with this. But is that a sane statement to make? I'm so popular, I could walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody would, I would still be as popular?
He thought it was clever, I'm sure. I don't know that it was a mistake. It just shows his ego that he thinks that he is so popular and everyone loves him.
But is that mental instability?
No, that's being a dumbass.
Well, that could be. We got a lot of those around. But, I mean, let's talk about some of the things he's doing, like the ban he did on Muslims, but he didn't roll it out properly, so the 9th District Court had to repeal it. And like,
right,
the,
and he's redoing that, apparently.
He's trying, but now he's ticking people off because he's saying dreamers can stay, but we're going to deputize citizens to arrest people. And if you're
now that deputizing thing, I've never heard that.
Well, that apparently is part of this. I don't want to speak out of school here, but that's my understanding.
No, that ties in with the fact that the National Guard's going out there. The National Guard is not going.
No, but the theory is that he's got to find a way to fund this. And the part of this executive order that he was working on yesterday is that if an illegal immigrant is out there and this person knows it, well, that now is an illegal thing. That now is a deportable idea in this country.
That would be abetting the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
there are some that should be picked up and rode out of town on a rail, you know.
Well, did you hear the story?
There was a lot of...
But did you hear the story in Texas? It's important to get this out. Woman in Texas who was an illegal immigrant, but not breaking any laws except that one, was getting beat up by her boyfriend. And she went in to the judge to get a restraining order against him. because she was getting beat up. She was worried about her life. The guy, while she was getting the restraining order, ICE, the immigration people, showed up, arrested her, and deported her because they think her boyfriend turned her in. So the boyfriend who abused her, who just happens to be an American, never got any charges pressed against him, never got any restraining order because the illegal immigration.
That's obviously wrong.
But that's what the rules are now. Why would an illegal immigrant report a crime now? Because if they go in to report it, they could be arrested.
Well, like I say, it wasn't a wise thing to do.
I mean, is that a good idea? Sean, what do you think?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I don't know if she had any sort of a record.
No, but I mean, in Ohio right now, because of this executive order, if you are just an illegal immigrant and you've never committed a crime except being a legal immigrant, you go in, say your house is robbed, you go in to report that, they can arrest you. Now, I'm not saying they're going to, but they have the right to do that now.
Well, I think
that's fair.
That's wrong. That shouldn't happen.
Now, we have two differing opinions. Sean said it was fair. You said it was wrong. Why is it wrong?
They didn't do anything wrong other than report somebody that was doing something tremendously wrong.
So why is it right?
Why is it right?
Yeah, that was your stance.
Oh, it's because, I mean, obviously they're here illegally. I mean, they should not be here illegally. So,
but they're here.
But they should not be here illegally.
So you just, as soon as they walk in the police station, cuff them and deport them.
I mean, just like a while back ago, all those illegal immigrants, that a lot of them had, like, drugs on them, and they did.
But we're not talking. No, see, that is a misnomer. Yes, there are drug. If you're dealing drugs, that's illegal. Deport you. That's not what we're talking about here.
But I'm talking about on this. No, I'm just using that for example. So there is illegal immigrants that
absolutely
do a lot of bad crime.
There are American citizens.
But I'm saying
on
this particular juncture, I don't think they should be here illegally, unless they're United States citizens.
Yeah, but you do realize the problem you're creating because they're not leaving. And if they, okay, if there's a crime going on, let's say somebody robs your house.
An illegal?
No. Somebody robs your house. An American citizen robs your house. And the only person who saw it was an illegal immigrant. Hmm. They're not going to go report it because they're going to get deported if they do. So you are stuck. You want that?
But what I'm saying is, but the illegal immigrants are not paying taxes.
That's not true.
They are.
That's not true.
Huh?
They are paying taxes.
Absolutely.
They are?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they be?
If they'd have to have a 1040 to even work for anybody.
That's right.
And unless it's one of the under the
table. Or a 1099. They have a 1099.
Yeah.
They could also, if they're in a house, they're paying taxes.
So they are paying, so they have a Social Security number?
No.
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 Well, they probably have it could be a phony one.
Let me put it to you this way. Let me put it to you this way.
So how are they paying taxes when they're phony?
I'm going to tell you here. Let me put it to you this way. In Marion County, you know what the biggest tax is?
What?
Sales tax. If an illegal immigrant goes and buys anything, they get charged sales tax just like anybody else.
I understand that, but I'm saying taxes out of their paycheck. They're not taking taxes out of their paycheck, are they?
Well, they probably, if they took more out, they probably don't file a tax report.
But you understand they also don't get. So the biggest taxes that come out of your check are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They're not going to have access to that.
How about none of us pay that then?
Well, because we don't want people living on the street when they're 70 years old with no money. But
now,
the question,
I agree there.
Yeah, but the question is, somebody robs you. The only person who saw it's an illegal immigrant. They're not going to go to the police station and file a report because they could be arrested.
Why don't we just, instead of making it illegal, why don't we just give them all citizens?
That was what Obama and Hillary wanted to do, and we don't like that idea, I guess.
No.
So we're coming back next hour. Hope you stay tuned. It's going to be an interesting conversation.
Okay.
Hey, and we're going to continue on. Thank you, Sean, for coming in today. And what a good hour. Stay tuned.
If it weren't something else, we'd be walking all the way.
Oh, Lord, it's physical.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion's Talking, streaming live on the internet at www.